I feel like that's what Gary from the detective, Encyclopedia Detective.
I love chess!
I just feel like that character would be like a competitive chess watcher.
He doesn't play it. He just watches.
Oh, he's a good player!
And I like the idea that he doesn't watch competitive chess. It's the watching that's competitive. I'm totally gonna watch this better than anyone else!
I'm gonna watch it better!
I'm gonna kick your ass at watching!
Drew!
I'm Chris Adam. I have a great secret.
Tell me all about your secret.
I can't. I can just tell you that there's a great secret.
Can you give me a hint?
No.
Can you tell me a little bit more?
You just have to watch the show and be confused.
I've seen the show.
Then you're confused.
That's very true.
Good. Then it's working.
Well, this is very interesting, Prince Adam.
No problem.
I'm glad you've told me.
Not like my friend He-Man.
Who's He-Man?
He's a friend.
A special friend?
Well, no, he's kind of like a guy you play racquetball with.
You look remarkably like him.
Oh, well, I'm totally different.
I noticed you are wearing a shirt, but other than
yes,
that...
Yes, a pink shirt.
Yes, it's quite
and
pink.
And pants.
That's
totally
debatable.
Different guy.
Those pants are so tight, you may as well not even be wearing them.
Well, I'm still wearing pants.
Like He-Man.
No, we're very different.
I notice you have the same fur underpants.
No, I don't. I'm Prince Adam.
So you've said.
I know a great secret.
This is the Real Fantasy Podcast.
It is.
That's where we watch fantasy films and then talk about them. We're on realfantasypodcast.com.
We are.
We're on most places
Stitcher,
you can find podcasts.
iTunes.
All those. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter at Real Fantasy Cast.
Oh, yeah.
We're on Patreon. It's that time of year again.
Shh. We don't.
That we don't. We'll put some in. We'll put some in.
Yeah. Well, then,
In post.
Yes.
Put them in post. It is getting near Christmas. Last year, we didn't do our full month of Christmas. We just did Heisen til Julestjerne at the end of the year.
The Julestjerne.
The year before that, though, we had our whole processional of Christmas movies. So we're going back to that this year. Although
an oldie but a goodie,
kind of in a different way, because that first year I think we really blew through all like the Christmas fantasy movies. So we're stretching it a little bit this year.
We had to really scratch the surface to find something.
So today we decided, you know, in keeping with the Christmas spirit, Christmas thing, we wanted to do Christmas specials
because, like, I don't know. We're men of a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I remember as a kid, like, with cartoons especially, like, there's always got to be a Christmas special.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a real cartoon if you don't got a Christmas special.
You got it.
You're some downright pretender.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was kind of like the hallmark of, like, all right, this is a legit cartoon series.
That's right.
They've got a Christmas special.
Christmas episode, Halloween episode.
Yep.
Bam.
Maybe a Thanksgiving episode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a runner-up.
There we go. Did you have any favorite Christmas specials when you were a kid? Or Christmas episodes of TV shows?
Oh, man. I don't know. What about you?
I mean, all the Rankin-Bass ones. I didn't see all of the Rankin-Bass ones when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But, like,
and
Rudolph
the whole story
Frosty.
Of Santa and,
mm-hmm.
like...
You know, all the classics. My favorite Christmas special ever, though, and this is when I was a kid right up until today, is probably a Claymation Christmas Celebration. Which, I don't even know if that was on more than one year. It was on...
You might be able to find it on YouTube.
Well, I have it. When I was a kid, we recorded it onto tape. And just had it on a tape of a bunch of Christmas stuff forever. And then a few years ago, we still had it. I put it onto DVD and still have it now. And I watch it every year, multiple times every year. I think they might have only had it on TV one year, or maybe a couple years. But it was, back in the 80s. And it was... Claymation Christmas Celebration with Herb and Rex, the two dinosaurs, and was just Christmas carols, but, you know, they had dramatic reenactments of the Christmas carol, mm-hmm. it was funny, it had that sort of claymation, weird sense of humor, and it was quite good, and then it ended with the California Raisins doing Rudolph. So that was when I was a kid, my favorite Christmas special, and remains one of my favorites to this day. But we decided we were going to watch some Christmas specials today to kick off our Christmas season. And we wanted to go, obviously, with fantasy-centric ones.
Didn't we do last year we did Christmas cookies? I think I made some of my family's Christmas
cookies. We did, yeah. We had some Christmas cookies.
They were really
good.
We ate the whole thing.
Yeah. We'll have to make some Christmas cookies again this year.
Yeah.
Probably not next week. Maybe, like, the final week. We'll have Christmas cookies. Maybe the tree will be up by then. Be good to go.
Sacrificial animals.
Mm-hmm. You got it. We'll hang stockings and wait for Odin to come and shove things in them. And we're good to go.
Never know what he's gonna put in there.
That's true. You never do. So yeah, we scoured the yesteryears of Christmas specials to find specifically fantasy themed ones, and we watched three.
And they were pretty unimpressive.
They were. We watched three Christmas specials. We started off,
and none of them really had to do with Christmas
at all. No, that's the thing. Like,
and they made a big deal of telling us in the beginning, oh, this is about Christmas.
Yeah. You think about, like, the classic ones. You think about Rudolph or Frosty. It's
or
like
the story of Santa.
It's
or
Christmas. Even Christmas Claymation Christmas Celebration. It's like, it's Christmas. It's Christmas carols. We started off with He-Man and She-Ra, a Christmas special.
Boy, right, that tells you right in the title.
It's right there in the title.
I know what I'm expecting.
And it was mostly just an episode of He-Man with She-Ra in it.
With, like, a Christmas taste in your mouth, like a peppermint taste in your mouth.
Yeah, a very faint one. Almost an aftertaste.
So, pretty much, like, the only thing that I can note with this outside of, like, the vague sense that, like, oh, this is season related. Like, mm-hmm. There's snow in Eternia.
Except that was only once. Who was the one who could? It wasn't Pika Blue that could make the weather right.
I don't remember.
It was some other stripper named person.
Exotica.
Because there wasn't originally. Because at the beginning, it was a crossover between He-Man and She-Ra, who are
the brother and sister.
Brother and
duo.
Sister. They're siblings. They're twins. And they both basically have the same shtick. It's Prince Adam and Princess Adora, but they could turn into He-Man and She-Ra. And it's a big secret to everybody who doesn't have eyes. I think that's the only thing that can.
We're very strong, but we're not good at figuring out puzzles in Eternia.
Because, yeah, so at the beginning, everyone. And He-Man is based on Eternia. She-Ra is based on Etheria on their respective shows.
Yeah.
And similar things, similar stuff going on, but sort of some differences.
Don't worry. You're supposed to be confused.
Etheria is Planet Girl.
Essentially.
You know.
Well, the reason they actually said, and I actually listened to interviews about the creation of He-Man, mm-hmm. they said, we created She-Ra to get female viewers.
Oh, of course.
Like, that's the only reason why She-Ra exists.
Mm-hmm. So, the Christmas special begins with the two kind of worlds have come together, because upcoming is Adam and Adora's birthday.
Yeah.
It's the twins' birthday coming up. So it's a big celebration they're working on. They're getting the decorations
for whatever
out.
Reason. Because they don't seem like they do very much for their respective kingdoms.
And Pika Blue is painting, and Mustache Man is painting flowers.
Like,
and
he just seems like this muscular mustached man.
Yes. Yes. Although, that doesn't really narrow it down.
I feel like his name would be Rick.
Sure. Like, except, you know, in the He-Man universe, it's got to be, like, Mostache.
Mostache. Rick Mostache.
I was never a big watcher of He-Man.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
acknowledged its existence.
I certainly knew about it, and I think I had some of the toys, my friends had toys, but I don't remember ever watching a single episode as a kid. I kind of knew the basic
collective
premise.
Collective consciousness, yeah.
But I guess I didn't realize until watching this and then looking some stuff up that the Queen of Eternia, He-Man and She-Ra's mother, is from Earth.
Because we had a moment in this where we had to look it up.
Yeah.
Because we were actually one of the fun facts of original He-Man series, none of it makes sense.
Well, sure.
it's almost intentional that mm-hmm. none of it makes sense. Where the new one from 2004, like, they actually make sense.
Yeah, they sat down and plotted it out.
There's no plot. they tell you things and never back it up. They never teach you what things are.
Yeah, well, because and I think part of that is just an outgrowth of how He-Man came about. Because originally it was toys. It started as a toy line. I think Mattel had the opportunity to get the license to make Star Wars toys, but it was they didn't want to pay the price. And then when they saw how much money Star Wars toys made, they were like, damn, we gotta come up with something. And they just kind of started. I think the guy who created He-Man basically just took like some other action figures that I think it was like a Big Jim action figure and like slapped some crap on it and
sculpted it and changed it a little.
And it was like, how about this? And then that's kind of how He-Man was born. And then some of the toys started having comic books that's packaged
in. That's right. And that's how they started the whole thing.
And then they started doing the show, but basically ignored the comic books.
Yeah.
And then there was also, around the same time, an actual DC comic book, which was another, it was like all these different stories. And I think over time, they started weaving elements from some of them into others. And it just kind of, became this big hodgepodge of stuff. So we had to look it up. We had to look up a few things. But yeah, the Queen, Marlena, is from Earth.
She is a cosmonaut.
She is a Soviet cosmonaut who crash-landed on Eternia.
And surprisingly, none of them are socialists. Wouldn't that be wild to get to Eternia? Like, how is Comrade Lenin?
Well, that's why when Miguel and Alicia... Was that her name?
Alicia?
Alicia go back. You gotta think the government's gonna be knocking on their door. Yeah. You know, you've been... What,
guys in, like, the what, not fedoras, but... The Mallory hats.
Mm-hmm,
and you're like, you know, what did you see?
We need to debrief you.
The smoking man from the X-Files. Mm-hmm. Just like, tell me what they know.
We need to debrief you, not in the weird way. But yeah, as they're organizing the party for the birthday, then the Queen is saying, oh, this reminds me of Christmas back on Earth.
Like future Earthican Christmas.
Yeah, and then the King's like, Earthican. Oh, it's Christmas. Is that one of your Earth holidays? Your quaint Earth customs? And basically at that point she's just like, yeah, ha, ha, ha. And then
the end.
that's all, folks. And then it just cuts to He-Man and Man-at-Arms are like testing this rocket.
Yeah, apparently, because that's how we celebrate Christmases, with Christmas rockets.
Christmas rocket, yeah. That does sound like a very Soviet Russia type thing. Yes, like I said, I didn't watch He-Man much when I was a kid, but looking stuff up, if people are in the same boat, He-Man, Prince Adam, it is a secret for the most part that he is He-Man.
Even though he tells people.
He tells people, it's obviously, he just wears a pink shirt when he's Prince Adam, and then just wears his fuzzy underwear when he's He-Man. But he looks exactly the same. And his voice, his and She-Ra's voices both change.
They don't match.
When they're He-Man and She-Ra, you know, He-Man's voice is, you know, kind of like what you would expect, and She-Ra's voice is what you would expect. But then when they're Adam and Adora...
I'm Prince Adam.
Yeah.
Hi.
It's the weirdest thing. Physically, they don't change at all. They just put on different clothes. But then Prince Adam, this buff, roided out, ripped, blonde, beefy bohonk...
Hi, I'm Prince Adam. Like, I have a great secret.
And then Adora, when she's not She-Ra, again, she looks exactly the same. She's this, like, Amazonian, like, statuesque...
Oh, Russian.
And her voice sounds like this.
One thing that's like, weird is, like, their eyes don't move, but their lips move, and it's really scary at points.
Yeah, it was... And I think that was true of the show, too. It was very cheap animation. A lot of reused shots, a lot of just... held shots with as little animation as possible, and the mouth movements are weird.
Yeah,
I mean they're not even remotely synced to the dialogue. They're just flapping lips, you know. But so He-Man, Prince Adam, Man at Arms, Duncan is his buddy, but like
he's got a mustache too.
Captain of the Guard or something. I think Teela, Duncan, He-Man, Man at Arms' daughter, is the Captain of the Guard, and Man at Arms is like, I don't know. He's like a big military dude. And his whole thing is he's got a lot of guns. That's like his...
Well, he's the Man-at-Arms.
Yeah, all the He-Man characters had like their gimmick, and his was he had guns.
Just like many faces had many faces.
Exactly. But they're testing the rocket, and sure enough, Orko slips in, and Orko is the comic relief character.
Who everybody hates.
Who everybody hates, who's a little bumbling wizard, troll, fairy, creature, thing, I don't even know. He gets in, no one knows he does, the rocket blasts off, and then he just freaks out.
And what a shock, everything goes awry,
mm-hmm.
and he gets sent to Earth.
Yeah, he ends up crash landing on Earth. Wintery Wonderland, and found Miguel and Alicia.
The whitest Miguel you've ever seen.
Yes.
He was like Donny Osmond white.
The whitest Miguel in the tightest pants.
Oh, yeah. And so these kids are just out in the woods with, like, a Christmas tree on a sled,
mm-hmm.
and they're just like, hey, we're not afraid of you creature that's yes. floating without legs and we mm-hmm. can't see your face.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you about our Earth holiday.
But yeah, Orko finds them. They're out getting a Christmas tree just on their own. Miguel's probably 10. Alicia's 8 or 9. They're just deep in the woods.
Their parents, I guess, live there in the woods?
Somewhere. Orko finds out he's on Earth. And Miguel and Alicia tell him, well, we're out getting our Christmas tree. And he says,
what's that?
So they tell him all about Christmas.
Unquestioningly.
Yes.
While the FBI man sits... writing
the... He brings them aboard his spaceship, and they just go right along.
Without question.
This bizarre creature, and tell them about Christmas, spread the good word. Say, Orko, we have some literature we'd like to share with you.
Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal savior?
And then when they find out he comes from an entire planet of people who don't know Jesus...
haven't heard the word.
They say, oh, Orko... we have some marvelous mission opportunities for you.
And that's where you see Miguel. And you see this huge amounts of paper, pamphlets. Just
yeah, it's interesting because up until this point, the show has kind of like talked about Christmas in the sense that a lot of times Christmas specials usually do, where it's just
vague
Christmas. It's a season of
presents,
hope and peace,
joy,
and love, and no religious undertones. We're like, okay, that's the way it's gonna be. But then they actually do tell him. They don't tell us the whole story.
No, because they're
they cut away. They cut back.
And then the wise men went to Bethlehem. You know,
and there we go. And that's like that's it. So it's like okay,
and the baby.
the baby.
Well, I think you've said enough there, Miguel. Baby Jermaine, yes.
Baby Jermaine, yes, yes indeed. Jermaine Jackson, yes.
We all like him.
Oh yeah, as they're sort of cutting around, we see Skeletor starting to hear about Christmas.
Peace, love,
I hate it.
As one would expect, he would say.
So, again, I think I might have seen one or two episodes of He-Man as a kid. I didn't see a single episode of She-Ra, but He-Man's enemy is Skeletor.
Yeah.
And he's got all his
nefarious bad guys.
She-Ra's enemy is Hordak, and he's got all his guys.
And these kids have no idea who anybody is.
And they're equally ridiculous. I guess I didn't realize they both report to someone else. Horde Prime? Who's just like...
You know what? They might have just made it up.
It's possible, yeah. I'm not sure. If you're listening and you're a He-Man and or She-Ra fan...
Or helped create it.
Or helped create it. Or anything. Or have ever seen the show.
Or have just made anything.
Let us know if Horde Prime was created for this Christmas special. Or if he was actually... Because just from my vague knowledge of He-Man, I kind of thought Skeletor was like... the supreme evil.
It sounds like a hacker or something, like a hacker code. Horde Prime.
Horde Prime, it sure does. But yeah, he's kind of almost like darkness incarnate?
I guess. Of? He kind of reminded me of the Balrog of Morgoth.
Yeah, yeah.
Except like way more articulate. He was more than...
Sure.
But what do you really mean? I didn't hear any Oxford commas in there. Because I remember he was like, peace, love.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
Destroy it. And they're like,
okay, if you say so, Horde Prime.
And...
what's your favorite type of steak?
Prime rib.
Yeah, let us know, Horde Prime, if that's something from the show. Because I didn't realize that Skeletor and Hordak both reported to someone else.
Yeah.
Is it like a Krang Shredder type of situation?
I don't know.
I don't know. So yeah, if you know, let us know. Let us know. But Horde Prime sends Skeletor and Hordak out to kill Christmas?
I guess.
Stop Christmas from coming, but how? So
we were never told anything.
Yeah. So, we're meanwhile...
They need a crystal.
They need,
I remember She-Ra needed a
that's
crystal.
That's right, yeah. So they find out that Orko was on board the ship.
Mm-hmm.
They find out it crashed on Earth.
Yes.
They've got a way to teleport him back, but they need a crystal.
They need a crystal, that's right. And it shows a white light. And they kind of insinuated, the white light of Christ.
Orko, remember, stand in the light.
That's right. Stand in the light.
Let the light bask in the light.
The light of Satan?
No, Orko, no!
Take that knife off those children's necks.
You don't understand anything.
Oh, we're not doing a blood ceremony for Satan.
Orko.
I was doing a pentacle to rise Beelzebub from the grave.
Wrong holiday, Orko. Wrong holiday. But, yeah, so She-Ra goes and gets the crystal. She's got to go to Planet Girl.
Planet Girl.
And meet up with...
Mermala or something.
Mermala.
Mermia or something?
Mermista?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's mermaid with a sort of French accent.
Because a mermaid
French
can't be
accent.
Named, like, Linda.
You certainly cannot. Hi, I'm Linda the mermaid. How you doing? What can I get you? I'll take your order.
All right, hon. Would you like a crystal?
I would like a crystal.
All right, I'll get it for you.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you.
No problem, sweetheart.
I'm going to leave you a good tip.
Leave me some Morley's.
That would probably be hard if you were a mermaid to smoke a cigarette. Your fingers always be wet.
Sure, yeah. You know.
Maybe that would be why she would want to be a smoker. It's a constant challenge.
You know, this is not even a real voice. I just wanted to be a smoker so
true.
Much.
It's true. And then these robot creatures show up.
Oh, what were they called? Because then there were the Man-Sheens.
There were the Man-Sheens, yeah.
And they were scary.
Yes,
oh,
yeah.
They had a name like Man-Sheen. They
yeah.
were like...
I don't remember what it was.
Bots or something.
Yeah. They were Terminators, basically.
Yeah.
And it was like...
Destructors or something.
Yeah.
Something. Whatever.
And I could never... Like, did are they...
I think they were sentient.
Did they work for... Hordak? Were they something else? Were they? I don't even know.
Whatever. They were bad guys.
Yeah, they attacked
She-Ra.
Honestly,
that's probably what they wanted to... They're bad guys. Stop thinking so much.
And this is the first time we hear Swiftwind's voice.
Yeah, because they're like... So you crack them and he's like, whoa! Did you see that?
Yeah, so She-Ra has... He-Man has... When
Battle
he's
Cat.
Prince Adam, he's got Cringer, who's a... Green Tiger. Who becomes Battle Cat when he's He-Man. Again, no physical change. When he's Battle Cat, he's got armor on. He's still the same giant Green Tiger.
I think his emotion changes. He's not scared.
Well, right, yeah. Cringer's a wimp. He's this, like, terrifying, cringing thing. And then he becomes Battle Cat. Dun, dun, dun. Does Cringer and Battle Cat, do they talk?
I don't know if they talk.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
But so She-Ra, her animal is a horse who becomes a... Pegacorn,
Swiftwind,
who talks again. I'm sure there's
it threw us for a loop.
It did. I'm sure
She-Ra's just has this like, go get him.
Yes. And even the buff male characters in the show are still even when He-Man's He-Man, he's still got that kind of
All right. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. But then, when Swiftwind finally talks, which I didn't even realize he could talk, we've seen
There's
him
a crack in the ground. What's that?
It's like, whoa.
She-Ra, look over there. He better have some sugar cubes. Give me those sugar cubes. I've been a good horse. Give me some carrots.
And this is like halfway through, and we've seen Swiftwind a bunch up
for
till
at
now.
Least 20 minutes. We were laughing
yes.
hard.
Again, I'm sure if you watch the show, this is just how it is. It's like this all the time.
Sure.
But we had no idea.
But honestly, knowing original He-Man, they could have just did it for this episode and never did it ever again.
Who knows? Yeah. We don't know. Let us know. If you're a She-Ra fan, let us know. The robots end up flying away to go somewhere.
Yeah.
She-Ra ends up... They've still... She-Ra's still got the crystal, so she just goes back. With the crystal, they're able to get Orko back to Eternia.
And him, as the dope he is. Come on, kids!
He just kidnaps the kids.
For 4 days.
He just says, come with me. Come with me. Let's stand in the light together. And also, their sled with the Christmas tree on it comes. Yeah. And then they just hang out on Eternia.
For 4 days.
For 4 days.
Nobody knows where they are.
And
they cannot be found.
Nobody calls the police. And
because the technology on Eternia is like far beyond what it is on Earth. Mm-hmm. There's no way anybody knows where these kids are.
No. It's weird, because it's just like Orko's... He knows he's about to be teleported, and he's just like, kids, come with me.
Okay.
Okay, and they do. And then they just...
Why are kids in cartoons stupid?
I don't know.
Like, just obnoxiously stupid.
And I don't really know why they exist in this cartoon. Because they get to Eternia, and they don't...
Honestly, they're collateral.
Yeah.
They just end up getting kidnapped.
I guess they do it thaw Skeletor's heart.
Because that's such a big arc of the story.
Because Horde Prime wants the kids now.
Because there's a hope that Christmas might be a thing?
Yeah, I don't know. So Skeletor manages to get them. He just grabs them.
I just remember the Mansheens.
And then there's the Mansheens.
Because they live in the Terminator planet. They live after the fall of Skynet.
Which was somewhere. Where was that? What place was that? Was that Mansheen? Planet Girl?
I don't know. Mansheen. Are you John Connor?
Because I thought it was a different planet. Because, yeah, it looks like a post-apocalyptic wasteland, but then that's where Mermista shows up.
Oh,
with
the ruins.
Crystal.
Remember she said the ruins?
Oh, is that what? Okay. So these are the ruins on Planet Girl. Okay. And then who ends up in the prison cell?
Oh, the kids and Orko.
And then rescued by the Mansheens?
Kids and Orko.
Okay.
Because the Mansheen's like, hi, my name is Dilbert or something.
My name is Dildo.
they were scary looking, I'm sure.
But it's such a weird disconnect with the character design, because all the characters are He-Man characters. They're all, you know, not realistically rendered, but, you know, like, 80s action cartoon, you know. And then these Mansheens are, like, from, like, friggin' Teddy Ruxpin or something.
Yeah.
They're, like, these weird, like, super cartoony giant eyes and, like, strawberry shortcake-looking things, but robots. And they just, like, show up, and they're all weird.
One of them's
a car.
So
weird.
The other one's a hammer.
The car is Zipper.
And he has almost a stutter.
Zipper! And yeah, what was the lobster clawed dude's name? Lobster Thermidor?
Snips, I don't remember.
Snips. Oh, I think it was something like that, yeah. Snips or like, yeah, something
Cutter.
Like that. It was Cutter, that's right. Because he's got these, like, claw hands. He's able to cut them out of the prison cell.
Is that an oil leak? Are you happy to see me?
And when we say he's got claw hands, don't think that the character design isn't weird, goofy.
No, the whole point
childlike.
Is that they're, like, machines. They're, like, little machine people.
The Mansheens. The Charlie Sheens. As the Mansheens are breaking them out, do the robots show up again? And then He-Man and She-Ra show up?
Honestly, the kids were just collateral. They were just, like, in the way the whole time.
And then Skeletor gets them, and he's just marching them to Horde Prime, like, through the desert, and then through snow, and then through the desert again. And they're working on them the whole time and telling them all about Christmas, and he's saying... Peace and love.
And then, like,
that
the girl almost
horrible.
The girl almost dies. And it's like, all right. And he gives them coats.
Yeah. And then the girl had gotten a Mansheen puppy. And
what's the point of the Mansheen puppy?
I don't know.
What does it do?
There is no point. Because it just, they... Because
all the Mansheens have purpose. They all do a specific function.
Yeah. The puppy loves That's its purpose. It loves.
Watch, it's also a gun or something.
Yes.
It's a nail gun.
It's also a gun. That's true.
I am not a gun.
I am a gun. Look at that.
Actually, you're wrong, Iron Giant. You're actually a giant.
You're not a gun. You're many guns.
You are the gun.
You're all the guns. But yeah, Skeldor gives them coats, and then he makes them keep marching. And the girl wants to bring the puppy, and Skeldor says, "No, we leave the puppy behind." But then he picks up the puppy, and the puppy starts licking him, and he carries it. And he says, "What's happening to me?"
That's a direct quote, too.
Yeah.
What you
and
expect?
Actually, the soundtrack at that point actually like sounds like "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch." Dun, 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 dun. You're a mean one, Mr. Skeletor. And then they keep calling him Mr. Skeletor, Miguel and Alicia. So it's just like,
yeah,
it's how the Skeletor stole Christmas.
I can't even recall how they got out of the jam. I was just waiting for it to be over.
I think then like Hordak shows up and he wants to deliver the kids, so he bust down Skeletor, and then Adam and She-Ra show up, and they just fight and win, and then they celebrate Christmas, and then they send the kids home.
Yeah.
And the puppy stays.
After that was such a big deal.
But they give the kids belts that let them fly.
Which, you know, they're gonna go back home, and, like, the government's gonna come to their house mm-hmm. and being, tell us what you see. You know, the cigarette man from the expo, the cancer man's gonna be, mm-hmm. tell us what you saw.
Mm-hmm. And they get home, and their parents haven't seen them in a week,
and they're not alarmed.
Nope. They just say, "Oh, I'm so glad to see you again. What's your name again?" And their dad is Mario.
Yeah, he says,
"It's-a me, Mario."
You know it's a Scandinavian guy who does that voice?
Good. Good. The way it should be.
But yeah, so that was He-Man and She-Ra in their Christmas special, and it was...
It was just an episode of He-Man and She-Ra.
I guess if I was 7, I had a bowl of cereal and, like, some chocolate milk,
mm-hmm.
I'd probably be like, this was great, you know? Like, if I had a whole bowl of Cocoa Krispies.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I guess so.
It was, I don't know.
So then the second one was a spinoff of How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah.
Was...
Dragons, Gift of the Night Fury.
And it had nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
It was about Knuckle Krug or something.
Snoggletog.
Close enough.
Yeah.
So we knew nothing about it.
He-Man and She-Ra was on TV, obviously.
Yeah.
It was in 1985 it came out. Dragons actually was direct-to-DVD, Gift of the Night Fury, in 2011, somewhere around there. But yeah, it was, you know, How to Train Your Dragon, this animated... fake Vikings, but like fantasy fake Vikings, not like real world fake Vikings. In the first movie, then dragons are this like mysterious threat, and then Hiccup, who's kind of the chieftain's son, but he's kind of like the black sheep of the tribe, he's the kind of shrimpy
alternative
kid, you know, he ends up befriending a dragon, and then through that, they learn that, oh, no, dragons are cool. They're all right. They're fine. That's How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah.
This is Dragon's Gift of the Night Fury. The Night Fury is the type of dragon that Toothless, Hiccup's dragon friend is. There's all different kinds of dragons.
See, I've never seen any of these films.
And the Night Fury was thought to be the most dangerous breed of dragon in the first one. They've got, like... like, they don't shoot fire, they shoot, like, laser breath, basically. Whoa. It's like this plasma burst type thing, and they're, like, you know, super agile, and you never see them coming, and that was kind of all in How to Train Your Dragons. But by this point, then, dragons have integrated into the Viking society, and they are, you know, not pets, but not people either. They're, you know, a treasured part of the Viking society. So
the Scottish Vikings.
Yeah, that was the thing with How to Train Your Dragon, is that all the adult Vikings are Scottish. All the younger Vikings are American.
Non-denominational.
Canadian. I mean, like, Hiccup is Jay Baruchel, Jonah Hill is one of the voices. TJ Miller is one of the voices. Kristen Wiig is one of the voices. Christopher Mintz-Plasse is one of the voices. America Ferrera is one of the voices. So all the children are, you know, 5 years ago's hottest comedic stars. Yeah. And then the adults were all Craig Ferguson and Gerard Butler and Sean Connery and not really, but should have been. So yeah, the holiday here is Snoggletog.
Which we're not explained what it is, why it is.
No. It's certainly not Christmas.
But there's snow.
And it's certainly not Yule. But they are waiting for Thor to fill their helmets with gifts.
I thought it was Odin.
Well, in real life it is, but they're waiting on Thor.
Then they're going to be sorely mistaken. Mm-hmm.
Thor don't do that, man. And there's not much to say regarding the plot. It's like, they're going to celebrate Snoggletog. They're all excited to celebrate Snoggletog with their dragons. But their dragons all fly away.
But nobody knows what Snoggletog is.
Yeah, well, nobody tells us what Snoggletog is. They probably know. We know that the decorations are all basically like Christmas decorations, except kind of like using Viking stuff. So the Christmas tree is like planks of green wood and shields.
Yeah.
And then they hang colored lanterns all over the place. And they put out their helmets on Snoggletog Eve for Thor to fill with something. Gifts.
Food?
Sheep?
Poetry?
Mead? Blankets.
Doilies.
Thor's gonna bring doilies and put them in the helmets.
My friend, my brother, a doily for you.
Yes, this is how it goes in Snoggletog. And the dragons all end up just suddenly leaving, flying away. Like they're possessed almost. No one knows why. They just disappear and fly away. And everyone's distraught because they were really looking forward to celebrating Snoggletog with their dragons.
Which apparently is part of the festivity?
It is now, because this is the first Snoggletog they've had the dragons. Up till now, the dragons have been their enemies. So they really got used to this idea of Snoggletog with dragons really quickly. And now they're like utterly despondent about this, that the dragons are gone. So, you know.
And no one knows anything about dragons. It seems like they know very, very little.
Very little. That is actually part of
their universe.
Part of the, because in the first, there's actually two movies at this point. There's actually a third one coming out, and then there's been a couple shows. But in the first one, no one knows anything about the dragons, except that they're to be feared. And Hiccup is the first one who kind of starts learning anything about them, and then like researching them and observing them and like recording different things about them. So that is like in keeping with it, where they don't really still to this point know much about the dragons or what they're all about or what they're doing from day to day, because all the dragons disappear. Toothless, Hiccup's dragon, has this thing. His tail is damaged.
Yeah. And Hiccup's missing a foot.
Yeah.
And that's
Toothless's tail was damaged. I think it was damaged in the beginning of the first one, in when the dragons attacked the village and the Vikings retaliated. I think that's when Toothless's tail was damaged. So before Hiccup like met him. Then Hiccup lost his foot at the end of the first movie. They worked something out. They made a contraption where Hiccup has this attachment that can lock into Toothless's harness when he's riding him, and then Hiccup can also control the the attachment that he built for Toothless's tail to allow it to, because he's got kind of like a fin tail that he needs to control himself while flying. So Toothless worked it out so that he made an attachment for Toothless Hiccup. Toothless Body fart, snotgrass, snooperdop.
You got it.
But he's got this thing where...
What about snapgrass too?
Oh, they love Snockletog.
Oh, that snapgrass doofabob. You never know what he'll say.
Who knows? He loves Snockletog, though. Hiccup controls Toothless's tail attachment, so Toothless can't fly on his own. In the beginning of this, Gift of the Night Fury, Hiccup makes a new attachment for Toothless where he can control his tail himself. As soon as he gets that, Toothless flies away. Presumably after the other dragons. Hiccup ends up hitching a ride with a dragon that secretly stayed behind but is now gone, and finds out that the dragons just went off to have their babies. They went to Belize or somewhere.
Somewhere nice and tropical and warm.
Because this little island.
Not a place for Scandinavia.
No, certainly not. All the dragons are here, and they've all given birth, and
Hiccup says, there's no dads to be found.
Yeah, maybe. We don't really know. Yeah, they don't really go into which of these dragons are male or female or what.
See some paternity tests.
But Toothless isn't there. All the dragons from the village are, as well as some other dragons. And Hiccup. Why these names? Why Hiccup? Why Hiccup? Chris is going to head back. He hitches a ride with his girlfriend's dragon. But then that prompts all the dragons to decide they're going to go too. And all the baby dragons can't quite fly yet.
So they have to eat them, not
so
eat
that,
them.
Well, this is the thing. So, you know, in real life, with animals that need to learn how to fly, if you, like, assist them, you've doomed them.
Yeah.
But they just load all the baby dragons into a ship, and then all the mommy and daddy dragons carry it.
Yeah.
So these dragons are all doomed. They'll never learn how to fly.
They're all doomed. He just wiped out an entire species.
Genocide by good intentions.
And that's, like, the end of that.
Yeah, and then Toothless comes back, and it turns out he was just going to get the Hiccup's helmet.
And then...
That Hiccup had dropped earlier. Yeah. And then Toothless destroys his new attachment. He demands to be dependent upon Hiccup for his mobility.
Oh, man, what if Hiccup gets, like, a serious girlfriend? That's gonna not be too good. Human time. Yeah. Listen there, Trey. I need some human time. I'm going to put you on the hitching post, boy.
Yep.
So then, the piece de resistance.
Yeah. Get the crowning theory. Gem. Snoggletog was done, and then it was time for...
The crowning gem.
Shrek the Halls.
If you haven't thrown up yet, I suggest you throw up now.
So here's the thing with Shrek. Just the general Shrekness. The first Shrek movie, like, I saw it in the theater.
I did too.
And it was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It was funny. It was
kind of the only good thing to come out of the early 2000s.
It was, you know, even though it had Smash Mouth songs on the soundtrack.
Hey, you know what? At that time...
Now, you're an all-star.
Get your game on.
Go play.
We thought they were going places. We didn't know we were sorely mistaken.
I enjoyed it well enough. Then the longer the series went on, you know, there's four movies at this point. There's like,
and all there needed to be
spin-offs. There's shows. There's merchandise. It's like it became the thing it was mocking in the first one. The first one, like.
Was great.
A huge part of it was, like, basically...
Making fun of all the tropes that have ever been in fantasy movies.
And making fun of Disney.
Yeah.
For its commercialization and...
Because this was the punk rock. Yeah. The punk rock fairy tale.
And it was... There were so
the
many...
The grungy fairy tale.
So many things in it that were, like, specific directed digs at Disney. And, like, different arms of Disney. There were, like, digs at Disney World, and digs at Disney the company, and digs at Disney movies, and digs at And it's like, then it just became that. Like, yeah. The longer it went on, the more it's like, you're just, that's what you are now. You just keep on, and like, yeah, you can, you're still in the movies and stuff, like, paying lip service to that, but like, look at all this Shrek merchandise and crap, and it's like, it's the same thing.
You're not, still, you sold out, man.
Yeah, you know, and
you're
like,
posers. You guys are all posers.
I'm not.
You should be the angry teenager.
One of those guys to accuse anyone of sit. Let's like, I don't care. Do what you want to do, but like, don't pretend you're something you're not.
Do you, think I care?
I don't care.
I don't care about nothing.
I don't care. You do what you want to do, man.
I don't care.
Bangarang.
Bangarang. I'm gonna drink my popo over here.
This is my popo. I'm gonna drink it where I want to drink it. Yeah, so I don't know, the Shrek
this
universe kind of is like law of diminishing returns kind of thing. Like the longer it goes on, like the less edge it has, the less bite it has, the less it's like I don't know.
Yeah,
and the more it just became like, oh, ogre family, it's so cute.
Let's put gross stuff in there.
Yeah,
because that's our
that's our shtick. That's what we got. So I don't remember
where...
They
could do, like, cool in-depth things about ogre life and... Nope.
So this, Shrek the Halls, this was 2007, so I don't quite recall where that fell in the...
The Great Recession.
In the Shrek chronology. But he and Cameron Diaz are married, and they've got the kids.
Three at this point?
I think they were triplets. I think they all... Yeah. And I don't remember which one they were born in. I've seen all the Shrek movies. I just don't remember them.
Whatever. It's not important at all.
I think it might be like between the third and fourth, but I don't know. Don't quote me on that. And I always get... I've only seen this Shrek the Halls once or twice before. But whenever I think of it, I always get it confused with the fourth Shrek movie. Because the plot of the fourth Shrek movie is... It's a Wonderful Life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Shrek has shown what the world would be like if he wasn't born.
Sure.
So I always think that this is going to be that, because It's a Wonderful Life is a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
And I always think, and then like, whenever I see it, I'm always like, oh, that's right. That's not what happens in this. Nothing happens in this. There's not a plot to this. It's just, it's Christmas.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate Christmas. So it's like, yeah, it's the first Christmas the ogre family's gonna have, and Shrek has never done Christmas before. He doesn't care about it. He doesn't do it. But then Fiona's all excited about it, but only the day before Christmas Eve. She apparently never mentioned it before then. And then she said, oh, it's Christmas Eve!
We have babies now, so we have to celebrate this.
And Shrek's like, oh, dang. And Donkey's really excited about Christmas, and...
As he's excited about everything.
Yeah. So then Shrek has to run to the bookstore and get a Christmas for Dummies book, and go through...
Which was cute.
It was cute, yep.
That's probably the only thing that was like, ha-ha.
Because it was like a step-by-step, you know, it was like, first decorate the house, then
but it's an illuminated
the tree,
book.
Then... Yeah, yeah. It was, yeah,
it's
like
a medieval
old,
illuminated book, and that's what I thought was funny.
And so he's going through that and trying to decorate the house and trying to do that, and Donkey keeps showing up and being annoying. Then it's Christmas Eve night, and the last step in it is to gather the family around and tell the Christmas story.
Doesn't go to plan. It's all awry. Big chaos. But then at the end, everybody gets together.
Yeah.
Shrek screws it up, and everybody makes amends, and oh, family's what you make it. It's not just your blood family. It's the people that are in your life. That's your family. And it's just like, done.
And also, pick my nose!
Thank you. That's just a shtick.
It's... If it were, you know...
Oh, no, this is a film that people made to pay bills.
Sure, yeah. I mean, if it were something where there was a little bit of a twist to, you know, if it... Because, like I said, I always get this and the fourth movie confused. And I think that this is a thing where... Shrek Christmas, he tries to do it right, it goes horrible, and he wishes he was never born, and then he sees what that would be like. Yeah. But that's not what it is. It's just, he starts with Christmas, it goes horrible, and then he yells at all his friends, and then he says, I'm sorry, let's finish celebrating Christmas. And then we'll also throw in wildly out of place songs into it.
That aren't Christmas related.
No. I don't even remember what they are now.
They were horrible.
There were a couple Christmas ones.
Oh, there was Journey. That's about...
Yeah. Don't Stop Believing. Just because this came at a time when Don't Stop Believing had a sudden resurgence in popularity.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll throw that one in too.
Because we're punk rock, man. We've always been punk rock.
Yeah. It's like,
We've always been alternative.
Eh.
And it's just like, whatever. That was pretty bad.
It was pretty bad. It was mostly just like bland. Just like, you're watching it and you're like, eh.
I was waiting for it to be over.
Eh. And then anytime there was a fart joke or a burp joke or a pick your nose joke, it's like, eh.
It's the kind of movie that you put in one of those SUVs that have a TV in them.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, we need you, kid, to shut up. Mm-hmm. Here's the film.
Yep. Yeah. What about the He-Man and She-Ra one? How was that?
That at least was entertaining.
Yeah, it not in the ways intended, but...
I was bored watching Shrek. Bored watching Shrek and bored watching Dragons. I was bored. Bored. Bored out of my gourd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least with She-Ra and, like, He-Man, it's like, all right, there's at least action in this. There's at least, like, somebody doing something of some interest.
Yeah, that's the thing. The He-Man She-Ra one is basically just an episode of He-Man She-Ra. With a little bit of Christmas paint on it.
Yeah.
But when you've got that, you've got the episode of He-Man and She-Ra.
And hey, you know. At least at the end, Prince Adam told me, there are other religions. Not everyone celebrates Christmas. The end.
not everyone celebrates Christmas, Orko, but it is a season of hope and
but it
and
is joy a season of hope and joy.
And Orko says, oh, thanks.
I just want to know where the peanut butter was. Why are you in a lounge chair?
That was weird. Because, there was the little tag at the end. And he was Prince Adam, but using the He-Man voice.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's...
I guess they figured he can't deliver that, not everyone celebrates Christmas, but everyone is deserving of respect and love. You can't do that in Aunt and Prince Adam's voice.
Yeah.
Ho, ho, ho!
That was another great part. This big, huge, beefy man with a pillow stuffed in his shirt. I'm Santa Claus! It's
ho, ho, ho!
That was great. It's like, no, you're not.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you, brother. How'd you know it was me?
Because who else do you know has short blonde hair and is huge? Nobody.
Everyone on this planet is huge, but you're the only one with short blonde hair. So, I think the He-Man and She-Ra one had some... quite a bit of unintentional comedy, which was quite good. Not super Christmassy. None of them were super Christmassy. Mm-mm. None of them were all that good. And these certainly are not ones that I think of as my go-to Christmas specials.
Oh, they're not canon by any means.
But my go-to Christmas specials are not really fantasy, you know. They're other things. So we wanted to try that a little bit here, and didn't really find much in...
It was a dud.
But yeah, so it's the start of the Christmas season,
happy
our Christmas
holidays.
Season.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy Hanukkah.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Yule.
Happy Yule.
Happy Winter
Good
Nights.
Yule. Anything, I don't know what else comes at this time this year.
Well, whatever winter holiday you celebrate, we wish a good one to you.
We sure do. And we'll be doing so again.
Yep.
Join us next time.
Same time, same bat channel.
Santa time, same Santa channel.
You got it.
I'm Matt.
I'm Drew.
And this is
Real Fantasy.
You have been listening to The Real Fantasy Podcast, a production of Doghouse Riley Studios. Copyright 2018, all rights reserved.